And grateful for this weekend we get to gather together, all of our locations. A big hello to you, our Hokesson church family, and for all of you joining us online. We're very glad you're here. We're in week two of a series that's all about relationships, all kinds of relationships. And right before we jump into the message, I do want to share with you, I'm very excited that we have officially started the process of launching a new location in Middletown. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. And part of our vision as a church to reach what we call Journey City, which is a 30-mile radius around our broadcast location in Newark. 1.8 million people live in that circle, and I'm very excited about heading south to the Middletown area. So if you live in Middletown, whether you're joining us in one of our physical rooms, you're online right now, if you live in the Middletown area or have family, friends there, if you are just interested in finding out more about what's going on, you can go to 4middletown.tv. So check that out. You can find out more about our launch. You can sign up for our first Middletown meet and greet, which is coming up just a couple of weeks from now. And or you can go to our app and find all the same information. You know, the app you just downloaded a couple minutes ago. So you've got it. You can go find all that info there. And I'm very, very excited about Middletown. So we started this series last weekend with this statement. I think it bears repeating that relationships are hard. Am I right? They're just hard. They challenge us. They fulfill us. They discourage us. They protect us. They disappoint us. It's not a stretch to say that when we get relationships right, over the long haul, our lives, everything in our lives ultimately gets better. But without healthy relationships, most other stuff in our lives ultimately breaks down. And we all kind of forget that at times. We think, well, money's going to be what satisfies me, or success, or, you know, just my own kind of priorities and ambitions. That's where I'm going to find fulfillment. But at the end of the day, really, it comes down to relationships. So it matters. But the problem is, and we saw this last weekend, most of us don't have a long list of good examples to look to when it comes to healthy relationships. On the flip side, most of us have experienced a lot of unhealthy relationships. We've seen them, we've observed them, we've been a part of them. Some of us have seen reality TV and wondered, is that how relationships are supposed to work? No, it's not, okay? So we've seen a lot of the negative examples, but we don't have a lot of positive examples. In fact, many of us, if we were honest, when it comes to our current relationships, we're just trying not to repeat the dysfunctional stuff we've observed in the past or been a part of. So when it comes to building great relationships, it really is easier said than done, which drives the big question behind this series and the why behind this series, which is how do we make our relationships work when it feels like there's so much working against us? And this is true, I think, where whatever our stage of life and wherever we land when it comes to spiritual things, it's just hard work. So let's dive in. Last week, we tackled the frustration we often experience with how different the people we love can seem from us. How many of us have somebody in our lives right now that they would be better if they were more like us? Just, okay, you're not raising your hand, but you know you think it. You're like, you would be so much better if you were just a lot more like me. And what happens, week two, the question is, what happens when those differences spill into or lead to real conflict in our families, among our friends, in our romantic relationships? So when we plan a series here, one of the things we do is often ask a handful of you for some of your thoughts on what the series is about. And for this series in particular, one of the questions we ask, we always kind of take like a little focus group and ask you questions. And one of the questions was, do you enjoy conflict? Do you like it? Why or why not? Here's what one person said. Conflict eventually leads to growth and health, honoring our differences. It's okay to disagree. Seems like a really healthy perspective. Another person said, conflict has a negative connotation for me. Everyone walks away feeling like poop about each other. Prefer to avoid it at all costs. So you've got kind of a spectrum of feelings toward this. And I would say on any given day, most of us kind of swing back and forth between one of those approaches. So there you have it. We're going to talk about conflict. And what better time than Super Bowl weekend and just a few days? Yeah. And just a few days before Valentine's Day. Like, you're welcome. We're going to talk about conflict. So parts of the next few minutes, here's what you need to know. Parts of the next few minutes may not feel very fun, okay? I got a lot to share with you, and we're going to dig a little bit, and it may not feel very fun at times, but the goal is that all of us have a better future because we get this right, or we get better at this if we're already making progress. And again, that's true wherever we are spiritually. And I want to let you know up front as well, I have a lot of work to do on this, okay? So I'm learning with you. This is not me going, here's everything you know you need to know about conflict. Here's what I think we need to know. And no shame, we're just going to get better. So you ready? Sound good? Okay? All right. Hokeson, everybody's ready. Online, everybody's ready. Here in Newark, 3 people are ready. That's enough for me. I started a church, so 3 is all I need. I promise you, like, I can roll with that. All right, so here we go. We're going to look at some verses in the book of James in the New Testament of the Bible, okay? So what you need to know about James, if you're new to the Bible, is that James was the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus. Mary was his mom, and or his, you know, mom in a different way than Mary was Jesus' mom, but Joseph was his dad. He was Jesus' brother, okay? So just think about that for a minute. Can you imagine growing up in that house? You always choose Jesus. It's like he's leader or Lord or something. All right, so by the way, if you're a skeptic when it comes to Christianity, which if you are, glad you're here and you don't have to believe anything you're not ready to believe yet, I do think this is actually one of those pretty convincing things that makes you think. Because it's one thing for somebody on the fringes to go, Jesus, you are leader and Lord. But when your brother believes that about you, I have a brother. You could not convince him in a million years that I was leader and Lord, okay? So, all right. So James, in the first chapter of his book, writes these words about relationships. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. So if that language seems a little bit strange, this is the way he was talking about the family of God, people who follow Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, again, if you're new to church, still trying to figure out what to make of all this faith stuff, that's just good advice, right? Nothing about that is particularly controversial. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. But for all of us who are followers of Jesus, it's more than just good advice. It's God's advice. We believe this is God's word to us. So there's something we've got to understand if we want our relationships to work. You ever had a misunderstanding in a relationship? Has that happened to anybody? I've had quite a few. I shared some of them last weekend, some of the misunderstandings I've had in my marriage. And many times I can trace moments of misunderstanding in a relationship back to not getting what James says here. That to win in our relationships, here's rule number 2 in the playbook. We saw rule number 1 last weekend. Go back and watch it if you miss it. But here's rule number 2. To win in relationships, we must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So let's break that down. First is quick to listen. What does that mean? Well, it means that when a problem arises in a relationship, not if, but when, a problem arises in a relationship, we ask questions rather than making statements. We ask questions rather than making statements, which with all of this, all of us would like this to be true of the people we're in relationship with. We would like them to approach us this way. So there's kind of like this golden rule that Jesus talked about, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So instead of leaping to conclusions when there's an issue in a relationship, our old playbook when conflict arose said assume, react, resent, but our new playbook says no, listen and be quick to listen, which means we don't let a lot of time go by between when the issue arises and us starting a conversation about, because we know resentment tends to fill the vacuum of waiting to have a conversation. So we're quick to listen, but we engage in conflict in a healthy way. We ask questions and we are quick to listen. Second, we win in our relationships when we are slow to speak. What does that mean? It means not only do we ask questions, but then we shut up long enough for the other person to give answers. And that's hard for some of us, especially when we've already decided 4 seconds into the answer that we don't like it. So some of us are like, oh yeah, I lead with questions, but if you haven't answered it accurately and correctly in a way that meets my approval within the first 4 seconds, man, I'm all over that. And I can relate to this. I struggle with this. I I have an intense personality. I have an opinion about just about everything. How many of you are like me? I have opinions, man. I have more opinions than there are things to have opinions about. I have extra opinion. If you need an opinion, I have extra. I will happily share one with you. And I've had to learn and continue to learn over the years that about 2 to 3% of what shows up in here should come out of here, right? How many of us, just be honest, again, they're all at Hokesson, all online, but it's okay, it's okay. So many times what happens, for those of us who are kind of wired this way, we're kind of intense, we have our opinions, is that we will jump in and start speaking, giving our opinion too soon. So instead of being quick to listen and slow to speak, we are quick to speak and slow to listen. Coming into this year, I felt like God's message to me was slow down in order to love. Slow down in order to love. What does that mean? We seek first to understand, then to be understood. Now, this does not mean we never speak. Some of us are going, oh, I got the slow to speak thing. I can do silent treatment like nobody's business. Like, I can bring an icy presence into a room and without a word, oh, I obey the Bible. Slow to speak. Still not speaking to my sister. 17 years later, I got this. Like, not what this is talking about. Doesn't mean we never speak. It means we are quick to listen. So we get the questions to the table quickly, but now we have a new playbook. Our old one said interrupt, intensify, intimidate. Our new one says no, slow down so that when we do speak, our words are constructive. They build the other person up. They build the relationship up rather than destructive, tearing the other person down. When we race into our opinions and race into a lot of statements that we want to make, what happens is it's very destructive to the relationship. When we're slow to speak, it's constructive. Destruction doesn't, have you ever noticed it does not take much time to tear down a building? It takes a long time to build one. We got to decide with our relationships whether we intend to be wrecking balls who just quickly tear down or whether we want to take the time to build up. And then third, our relationships work when we're quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Anger is not always wrong or bad. Some of us grew up in homes where this was frowned upon. It was wrong to be angry, or it was kind of not allowed, or to feel anything deeply was maybe frowned upon. And so we think we have to repress our anger. But that's not what this is saying. It's saying we are slow to get angry. So our old playbook says when conflict arises, man, you gotta get intense fast. Criticize, condemn, call names, scream, snap, stomp out of the room. The new playbook says, no, we learn to control ourselves and contain ourselves. Our new playbook says, I am not a toddler and nobody benefits when I act like one. Yeah, it's like a nervous clap. But for all of us who struggle with just immediate, we just go from 0 to 10 all at once. We've got to learn, not repressing what we feel, but we learn, I am the CEO. I'm a mature person. I am the CEO. I am the chief emotional officer of my life. My emotions work for me. I do not work for them. So I can't help myself. I don't know why this thought came into my mind. I was thinking about the process. If you have kids, you know the process of potty training your kids? So when a kid can't help themselves, they're not mature yet. Some of us are bringing a lot of stuff into our relationships and making very similar excuses. I can't, that's just the way I'm wired. And there are some of us who might say, oh, no, I'm slow to get angry. It takes a long time. But once I get there, Hulk see, Hulk smash. Like I, not what this is saying. What this is saying is slow to get angry is how we keep conflict focused on making the relationship better. That the issue is no longer to prove a point, it's to make progress. So out of control anger makes our conflict so personal that it's impossible to make progress. But when we're slow to get angry, we can make progress. So how many of us, all of our locations, would say, okay, I got it, man, I aced all that stuff. I got that nailed down. How many of us would say we're always quick to listen, always slow to speak, always slow to get angry? How many of us? How many of us? Show of hands, show of hands, show of hands. Yeah, my hand is up as an example only. So this is tough. And by the way, God's word is not saying, listen, if we do these things, all of our conflicts will always work out the way we want them to, or we'll never face conflict again. What it means is we can learn to engage the inevitable conflicts in our relationships in a way that works. And I know this is hard because for some of us, we don't even like that word conflict. Because all we've ever experienced is one-sided, destructive, intensely personal conflict. We've been intimidated in our relationships, or we've been the intimidator. And that's all we know. A lot of us fear conflict. In fact, over years of pastoring and leading, working with a lot of different people with a lot of different personalities, you know something I realized? You know some people who fear conflict the most? The people who start the most. You say, that doesn't make sense. Actually, I figured it out. A lot of us start a lot of fights because it's our way of controlling conflict. It makes us more comfortable with it. It's like, at least it's my mess. And we've gotten this dysfunctional way of engaging it. It's like, we are always in conflict because that way we're never surprised. But others of us, man, we fear this. We fear being walked on, or we fear being walked out on, so we don't engage in healthy conflict. Some of us fear our issues being exposed. So for Susie and I, early in our marriage, we had some things going on in our marriage that were Susie's issues, and Susie needed to figure out her issues. True story. She would say this. And you know what happened? Susie figured out her issues. And when Susie figured out her issues, you know whose issues came flying to the surface of our relationship? And I had a moment where I was like, hey, I would go back to your issues. Like, I don't want you to get healthy because then it's very clear I'm not. Some of us have not had the conversation because once we do, we know it'll be clear. It's not just them. And so we fear conflict. I told you parts of today would not be fun, but it could lead to a better future. Because here's what's happening in our relationships. Whether we have toxic conflict or the absence of conflict, the result's exactly the same over time. Closeness goes down, resentment goes up. Closeness goes down, resentment goes up. And there's a better way. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. That's healthy conflict. It can still be uncomfortable at times, and we're never going to get it perfectly. We're never going to get it exactly right. But the motivations are different when we start to understand this. Unhealthy conflict is about interrupting. Healthy conflict is about interviewing. I'm asking questions. I'm genuinely curious. You know, it's hard to be curious and angry at the same time. Unhealthy conflict is destructive. Healthy conflict is constructive. Unhealthy conflict is personal. Healthy conflict is best idea wins. The purpose is not to prove a point about the person. It's to make progress in the relationship. And when we approach our relationships like that, closeness goes up, resentment goes down. You say, that's great, but I am still mad. Got something going on in my life, and I'm just mad. I know, I feel you. And the problem with that is that human anger just never produces the righteousness, or another word for that word righteousness would be justice, the justice that God desires. Now, this is where this is more than just good advice. So if you don't know if you buy into the idea of a God who created us and then gave us his word, sent his son, you don't have to buy this. But for all of us who do believe in that God, believe this is God's word, this is really important because there are different kinds of human anger. Some of us wear our anger on our sleeves. We're mad all the time. Our driving shows it. When we have to wait longer than we expected for anything, it reveals we're just always mad. People around us have learned to walk on eggshells. Don't disturb your father. And we just wear it on our sleeves. And if that's you, I have so much compassion for you, because here's what I know. Nobody around you, as miserable as they are because of your attitude and approach, is anywhere near as miserable as you are. It's eating you alive. So if you struggle with this, there's a better way. But I want to speak to some of us that's not our story. We bury our anger. So we paint a plastic smile on, pretend we're all good, but in our unguarded moments, our anger seeps out in the way we judge, criticize, envy, even silently. Some of us have not had a rude conversation with anybody in recent memory except in here. We have imaginary conversations. Do you know, over the years, I've never lost an imaginary argument. Within a few minutes, the other person in my imaginary arguments is just like, you are so brilliant. I just defer to you in every way. How's everybody doing? Is everybody good? Okay. So some of us wear it on our sleeves. Others of us bury it and we just keep it inside. But listen, all of that is human anger. So what is human anger? Unresolved anger. All unresolved anger is human anger. It just, whether it boils or simmers, eventually it burns us, it burns the people around us. And here's the thing, none of us are exempt. All of us struggle with it, myself included. Why do we struggle with it? Whether it's wearing it on our sleeves or burying it inside, why do we struggle with it? Because we crave justice, but human anger does not produce the justice that God desires. So God's word comes along and says, listen, slow down, step back, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Why? Because then you will create space for God to work in that relationship. But what happens when the other person is playing a different game? So for some of us, up until this point, we've been like, this is good, but you do not know who I'm married to. If you knew, if you knew my boss, you would struggle to believe in the existence of a good God. If you knew my teenager, if you knew my mom, like if you knew my girlfriend, if you had any idea what I was going through, man, you would. And I get that. It's tough. What happens when the other person is being destructive and we're trying to be constructive? What happens when the other person insists on proving their point and we want to make progress? Well, in that case, it's very real. There's only one thing to do. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Oh, you mean get rid of all the evil in the person I'm married to's life? Because I agree. No. Get rid of all the evil in my fiance's life? My best friend's life? My kid's life? My mom's life? My boss's life? No. Listen, we can't do that. And it's trying to that's making us so angry. We're trying to control someone we can't, and in the process, losing control of the one person we can control. And so God's word comes along and says, get rid of all the filth and evil. He says, that's heavy language. What does it mean? In this context, I think it's referring primarily to all the unresolved anger, all the resentment, all the criticism and judgment and envy and strife inside of us. We get rid of all of that in our lives. How? By humbly accepting the word God has planted in our hearts, the good news about Jesus. That's what we're doing right now. We're listening to God's word being taught. We're mulling it over. We'll go this week for many of us, and I hope all of us, I hope you go to a J group this week, because that's an environment where God wants to plant his word in your heart. One of the things I loved hearing about this past week is how J groups are just exploding at our Hokesson location. We have more groups than ever before. Hundreds of people signed up for a group at Hokesson. We have a Middletown watch party group happening already. We're starting J groups in the Middletown area. Get to a J group this week. Why? Because God wants to plant his word in your heart. Doesn't mean that J group's going to read the Bible for an hour and a half straight. It means you're going to be around people who are going the same direction spiritually, and God's going to plant things in your life. God wants to do this every day of your life when you spend time with him, We call it a slot and spot. When you practice a slot and spot, a time on your calendar and a place you go to read the Bible and pray. You say, well, how do I do that? What does that look like? There are a lot of different approaches, but one thing matters most. When you come to God in your relationship with God, be quick to listen for his voice. Be slow to speak. Some of us, we come to God and we're like, hey, God, I've got 17 minutes. I've got 33 requests. Here we go. You ready, God? Here we go. Here we go. Number one, fix my boss. Number two, fix my wife. Number three, fix my kids. Number four, fix my money. Number five, fix my body. Fix my. And we just rattle. You know what happens when I'm slow to speak with God? I start with, thank you. You are a good God. Thank you that I get another day. God, thank you there's breath in my lungs. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and then be slow to get angry. Some of you go, what? Slow to get angry with God? I'm not mad at God. Are you sure? Do you find yourself consistently frustrated with the way your life is not turning out? Because there's only one in charge of how your life ultimately turns out. In fact, I love you. But for some of you, you think you're angry at another person, but you're actually confused and disappointed towards your God because you're in the middle of chapter 3 and you think you understand the end of the story. Slow to God, I'm going through what feels like hell right now, but heaven is the end of the story. Slow to get angry. Listen for God's voice. Take your time. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Why? Because a healthy relationship with God is actually what sets the stage for all of your other relationships. And by the way, the rest of this book of James, just the rest of this chapter, is full of God's word that he wants to plant in your heart. I just picked out a few examples, but there are so many more. So if you're struggling with conflict in a relationship, God's word says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. For some of you who are going, but I don't know what to do, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. For some of you are going, but this is just the way I'm wired, right? I'm just hot-headed. No, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. For some of you are going, but I'm not sure I can go on. Listen, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation because afterward they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. This is God's word. God wants to plant it in your heart. God wants to bury it deep in your life so that you can win at relationships. And winning doesn't mean what you think it means. So in a few hours, two teams will face off in the Super Bowl. Names will remain undisclosed. Although Isaiah 40:31 says that those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. But anyway, all right, anyways, which is, you know, I'm just saying. Keep coming to church here if you're not an Eagles fan. It's bipartisan, it's okay. All right, so in a few hours, two teams going to face off in the Super Bowl, right? Which, by the way, watch closely. There are a couple of ads about Jesus in this year's Super Bowl. And I actually had an opportunity to screen them in advance. They're powerful conversation starters. But in a few hours, these two teams are going to face off, and only one can win, which is how football works. That's how, for the rest of us, that's how sports ball works. Any sport like that, only one team can win. That's how it works. Listen, that is not how God designed your relationships to work. He's inviting you into win-win relationships where the only enemy is the enemy of your faith trying to tear that relationship apart. And you get on the same team and start to make progress. How? Be quick to listen. Try it this week. Ask questions instead of making statements. Be slow to speak. Try it this week. Really take your time. And then be slow to get angry. Try it this week. Slow down. And if you receive that, want God's help in your relationships, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to do it a little bit differently today. But first, if you don't know Jesus yet, today can be your day. So if you sense God is drawing you to him, here's the craziest thing that maybe you hadn't considered until now. The biggest conflict in your life is the conflict between you and the God who created you, and it doesn't have to go on. Jesus came into our conflict-filled, raging world, and he gave his life. He died so that your sins could be forgiven, and the conflict between you and the God who created you could be resolved. Jesus took all of that anger and all of that confusion that sin had created, and he carried it for you. And if you want to know God, you can, when you put your faith in his son, Jesus. So I'm going to invite everyone to join me. Just open your heart up to God, and then at all of our locations, if that's you today, if you want to begin following Jesus, this is your moment, this is your opportunity to pray a very simple prayer, something like this. Jesus, today, I believe in you. I'm turning away from the life I lived without you so that I can follow you by your power. Rescue me today, Jesus. I give my whole life to you. And if that's you, while everyone around you says, focus on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today. All of our locations, would you lift a hand? Just hold it up high, boldly. I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Yeah, just hold it up high. My faith is in him. Hokesson, hold that hand up. Online, you can stretch that hand out. And then I want to just take a moment more. And here's what I'm going to invite you to do. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And I want to pray over our relationships. I want to pray over some of us who are going through some very difficult things in our relationships. And then we're going to go back into a time of worship before we wrap up the gatherings today. So here's what I'm gonna invite you to do. I'm gonna pray, and as I pray, if one of these areas I'm praying about, if it applies to you, you don't have to do anything else, but just lift your hand. I'm gonna ask everybody to close their eyes. I want you just to lift your hand if that applies to you, and just receive the healing power of God into your life today. Sound good to everybody? So just close your eyes with me. Let's pray. Father, I come to you right now on behalf of your people. I pray first, God, for people who are dealing with conflict in a relationship. If that's you, just lift a hand up high. If you've got some serious conflict going on in a relationship, God, I pray right now that where there's been weariness and distress and anxiety around that conflict, that the power of the Holy Spirit would in this moment just breathe healing into people's lives. Come on, receive that right now from God. I'm not saying it's gonna fix all your problems, but it can restore you on the inside. God, I pray for fresh courage. I pray for fresh hope. I pray for forgiveness to fill our hearts, even if the other person hasn't asked for it, God. I pray that we would be peacekeepers in the middle of our worst conflicts, God. I pray that we would have the Spirit of Christ and that you would give us hope in Jesus' name. God, I want to pray over people right now who are dealing with trauma from the past. There's a wound, there's a hurt, whether they experienced it or maybe even they caused it in a previous relationship. And now every time they start to get close to someone, the enemy says, no, you can't do that. You are your past. You are that past hurt. You are that past mistake. Father, I pray right now you will rebuke and renounce the lies of the enemy over our relationships. We are healed. We are a new creation in Christ. Our past has been washed away. Our sins have been forgiven. And we can experience the richest and the best that you have for us in our relationships. We stand on the word of God today. And then, Father, finally, I want to pray for people who are experiencing pain and disconnection, specifically in their families, between mothers and daughters and fathers and sons, and between parents and children and siblings. God, I pray, if that's you, come on, lift a hand toward heaven. Father, I pray over families right now. where the enemy is trying to destroy and fragment our families. I pray the peace of God will come into our families, into our households. I pray that people in families who haven't spoken to each other in months or even years will be restored, God. I pray that new understanding will come and forgiveness will come and hope will come in Jesus' name. We receive it today. And then with me, if you receive that from God, come on, all of our locations, can we clap our hands, give Jesus all of the praise.